Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. With all the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow. And I'm trying to please to the calling of your heartstrings that play soft and low.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz. And when we need information on the metals, we got to go to our guy, Claudio Gross, who is independent, but also is involved with Precious Metals Advisory. Claudio, what's up, my friend? Long time.
Hey, Todd. Yeah, indeed. Indeed. A lot of things have happened. Basically, all is fine. I mean, when it comes to gold, it's still, you know, I mean, a bit slow. Because the stock market is still up and running, you know, crypto is up and real estate as well. So, I mean, you know, there is so much noise in the news, which Nassim Taleb once said that news are toxic because they don't give signals. It's just a lot of noise. And so it's people don't see, you know, the reality because they are really focused on, you know, the 24 hours news and that the stock market went up 1% and come down 0.3%. I mean, if that's really, you know, how we should describe an economy or something that makes economical sense, it just shows, you know, the madness behind our financial system, which has almost nothing to do any longer, you know, with the underlying real economy.
You know, I think that, you know, again, I think gold has been a little weak, you know, and again, I'm not concerned about it, but I do think it may have some room to go on the downside. It has not really performed as well as you might have thought it would with some of the things that are going on. But again, I mean, it's a hard asset. And I think, and I don't know what your thoughts are on this, but I look at gold as a hard asset that I'd like to own. But I don't really look at it as a protection against a portfolio. It may be a protection against currency, but not a portfolio. What are your thoughts?
You know, for me, gold is, you know, when we look, especially in today's environment, I think for me, it's crucial that the person's are holding physical gold. And that's basically, you know, it's part of. So I mean, gold is a must to have because it's not a trading vehicle. It's really your insurance, and at the same time, it's offering a possibility to save over long term. You know, I mean, gold, of course, you know, especially if you have been a buyer on the last top of the gold market in 2011 or 2010, well, I mean, then you really also went through a value of tears. But I mean, right now, when we look at the nominal price of gold. It's basically cheaper than in 2001 when you look at all the credit which has been injected into the system. So, I mean, you know, we have overvalued markets, which basically have been boosted by all this free liquidity and cheap liquidity. But one element that definitely hasn't profited that much from it is physical gold. But I have no doubts, you know, that in the next few years, gold will be significantly higher than it is today. And that's, I mean, yeah, it's, you know, I save, I don't speculate. You know, I own a tangible asset, which is a hard asset, which I can touch, which has a history of several thousand years of endurance and scarcity. And I'm not investing in something that I would like to sell in the next few weeks or months ago. That's basically, you know, why I truly believe that physical gold in the actual environment makes more sense and people really should have it.
I agree that everybody should have some representation of gold. I have no question and no issue of that. My question to you is what percentage of a person's portfolio in your mind should they have in the precious metal, and whether it be gold or silver or others?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there is not a one-size-fits-it-all solution. It really depends, you know, how you look at the economy. I mean, I have an old friend. I know him for about 10 years. And so over the last few months, we had more time to spend together because since I'm freed from my office job and basically can run my own show, I also have more time, you know, to meet people, talk to them. And that particular man, for example, they have a financial holding, which is basically investing in also in endurance and in scarcity, in companies which basically are creating real value in the real world, which are owned by, you know, a few families most of the time, which are there for 100, 150 years. So they're really building up, you know, collection of assets in the stock market. And I've never invested into the stock market that much because I never understood, you know, that you can also, by owning shares in a company that you with the right spirit and the right setup and the right people, that you can become an owner of that particular company and not an investor. And I think, so, you know, stocks, definitely, we don't know the future exactly. We can only prepare and we can diversify. So I think, you know, physical gold is definitely something which people must have. I think when it comes to the stock market, yeah, it depends on your strategy, of course. But there are a handful of good companies around which basically really are also focusing on wealth preservation, I think, which is really key in these days. It's not about, it's not about being right with an investment that might then perform, extremely well in a very short period of time, but coming down again. It's really all about, making sure that you don't make a mistake and that your irreplaceable savings are not going to be extinguished from the market and that you lose everything.
No, I understand that. I mean, that, again, that makes sense in how you do it. But of course, you know, we've seen some many, many times where, you know, gold has been under pressure as well. So, again, I think that, you know, diversification is also a good thing. And now, do you like other metals than gold? What is your thoughts there?
Yeah, of course. I mean, you know, I mean, because I always looked at gold and also silver as money, I'm very much, you know, invested in those two assets. And also now that I became independent, I mean, then you have the possibility to take out your pension fund, and which has been managed, you know, by the Swiss government related pension funds, which still are in a way a bit independent, but of course, you know, they are linked with the government. So you don't have that much influence on, like in the US, where you can basically decide for yourself how you want to steer your IRS or your pension funds, 401 or whatever, and what do you want to hold. So in Switzerland, that's a bit more hard. So basically, I was able to take that out, and I also invested it, you know, a big portion of it again in physical gold and physical silver, especially when it comes to silver. I mean, yeah, it's what now 80 times cheaper than gold. At the same time, yeah, it's, you know, in a ratio of 1 to 12, 1 to 15. So it's heavily undervalued. And when I see, you know, what's going on in technology, in the technological world, then I truly believe that silver is definitely also money. People should own it. It's heavily undervalued. It has a huge upside potential. But of course, you know, it's much more wild than physical gold. So it can go up much faster in a very, you know, very, very successful. But it can also correct on the downside even more strong than gold. But you need to understand why you want to own it. And if somebody has a low time preference, I mean, that's basically crucial. I mean,
Hold that thought, Claudio. This is Claudio Gross from Precious Metals Advisory, and he's our expert on metals. We'd love to have him on when we want to talk about the metals. And this, of course, is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz. Make sure you download the show every day at libertytalk.fm. And we're going to step out of here for a break, and we'll be back with more from Claudio Gross, Precious Metals Advisory, after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz, we're coming right back to you after the break. Welcome back to the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz with Claudio Gross of Precious Metals Advisory. So, Claudio, go ahead and finish your thoughts. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Okay. Yeah, basically, I mean, do you know the concept of time preference?
Yeah, but go ahead and explain it because many people may not know.
Okay, all right. So basically, I mean, you know, the people I address are people with a low time preference, meaning they understand that you have to save first and that you can invest afterwards. They also understand that before you can buy something, you have to make the money before you can buy it. So that's a low time preference. And they have also a long-term, you know, horizon when the way they are investing their savings. And when I look at today's world, I mean, also for the last decades already, I mean, we have become a high time preference society, meaning you want to have it's in the nature of man that he wants to have everything right now, everything and anything. And of course, in a system which is based on credit, you have certain instruments where you basically can fulfill your dreams, even without having, you know, the necessary financial means. You just take on a credit, and when we see, you know, how the interest rates came down, I mean, it has driven, you know, people higher into debt, and so they are speculating. They basically have, yeah. They buy something because they want to sell it in a few days or in a few weeks or a few months again. And they don't see themselves as owner of real assets. And I think that's why I'm most likely a bit in a niche market in our fast moving days, you know, where you can become within a year a billionaire. I mean, I think cryptocurrencies had, 100,000%. gains in the last few years. I mean, it's just amazing. So, but you know, the faster you can make a lot of money, the faster you're going to lose it. And so, people really have, especially in these environments like we are in today, people really have to think about, you know, shall I go to Las Vegas or invest some money in the stock market? Because at the end of the day, it's exactly the same. Or do I want to become an owner? And also have some philosophical thoughts about the way you invest and, you know, the way you search real value.
So, I mean, obviously you're a big believer in gold and the metals, but of course, you know, speculating and investing is also a way that many people create wealth in this world as well. I mean, you know, there is, you know, even, you know, if you're opening a new business, you could be speculating on that the business is going to be good, right? So, I mean, there is something to speculating as well. I mean, even in the gold, using like the futures market, right? I mean, I know you don't use it, but it is something that you can do, correct?
Absolutely. No, I mean, you know, definitely. I mean, you know, the majority of the market participants, especially in the Western world in these days, are speculators at the end of the day. You know, I mean, that's why you need the news. That's why you have to buy today and sell in a few days when you made the gain. So it's all about speculation. But, you know, we have seen that, you know, over the last decades already and since 1971, basically, since also, you know, the monetary system has been decoupled completely from the gold standard, which, you know, from gold, which basically had at least the effect that the central banks were not able to print as much money in unlimited amounts as they are doing today. So it's, I mean, you know, everything is operating in cycle. Everything is a cycle, and I truly believe, you know, we are at the end of a long-term debt cycle, and therefore I think it's also important that then people start to think, not just speculating, trying to get, you know, rich in a very short period of time. I mean, that has been the dream by man always. I mean, everyone wants to have that, but I think it's getting harder and harder, and the environment today, it's it would be much more important to shift the focus away from speculation and investment and to think about, if you still have, you know, some money left that you saved, really to think about it, what you want to do with your savings, and move into something where you basically can say, okay, I leave it there for the next few years, and if something is going to happen or there is a financial turmoil, then basically based on history and what we know is that these assets are going to perform.
Now, when you look at the dollar, you know, I have an opinion that I think the dollar is going to actually be the black swan event I believe that right now the dollar is being suppressed by not only the Fed, but it's being suppressed by the other central banks around the world, because at the end of the day, that's how they keep interest rates low, because they've lost control of the interest rate market. Now, I'm kind of disappointed in the way gold's performed with the cheaper dollar, but I think that gold is actually pricing in a higher dollar as well. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, I mean, gold has performed, I think, last year was 13% in plus in US dollar terms. So it was okay. I mean, it was going sideways, not really huge. I mean, it's for the amount of money which has been injected, the price is too low. And the US dollar, the euro. I mean, we had just had the elections in Italy. And so the guys who have the possibility to form an alliance in Italy are basically all against the European Union. And I mean, when I look at the euro system, I mean, that one is also heavily indebted, and it's much less centralized than the US dollar with the Federal Reserve System. So, I think these things can change fastly. You know, I believe the euro is too high and the dollar is too low. And then, of course, we have all the companies which want to repatriate the money with the new tax deal under Trump. So that most likely is also going to, maybe $1 trillion, 1.5 might go back into the United States, total. So it will lead more to more inflation over in the States, and most likely a bit deflationary in the rest of the world. But as you said, I think also for me, the end game of the current system is when the dollar goes up, and when basically all the countries on the periphery are going to fail because they cannot repay back their U.S. debt with a strong dollar.
That's always the case. And of course, we have such a massive amount of debt globally. What are your thoughts on the upcoming debt bomb, we'll call it?
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's absolutely crazy. But of course, when you talk to a guy back in the 70s or in the 80s, they also thought that the debt is already huge. I think this time it's really, I mean, as I said, we even see this picture of zombie companies, basically companies which are not productive any longer, which don't innovate, and they are just kept alive because they own the bank too much debt. And I mean, the same goes also for some countries in the Eurozone, like Greece, etc. I mean, they just keep them alive. They keep them, they keep them in a kind of proletarian relationship, because all the money which is going to the Greeks, Greek banks, it's not ending up in the hands of the Greeks. So it's basically ending up in the hands of the bankers in the Eurozone who lent the Greeks the money first. So it's, the whole system is centralizing. And we can see, we can always fake. I mean, look at the current inflation in the United States. I mean, I just checked out the shadow stats, and based on the old calculation method, 1980, the inflation in the U.S. is 10%, and you earn 2% on a bond. So I mean, at the end of the day, you're still losing 8%. In purchasing power, in real value. And that's also how they try to reduce, with negative interest rates and all that stuff. Basically, you're in favor of the debtor, and you take the money, from the saver. And this is a redistribution which is going on for a long time, and more people realize that they are also affected by it, and that the job is not going that smoothly any longer, and that they, I think, when you talk to the people on the street, they don't know exactly what's going on, but they feel that there is something really going in the wrong direction. And I think that's a kind of awakening, but it always takes time until people take the next step and then take action to protect themselves.
I agree with you. I couldn't agree with you more. This is Claudio Graus from Precious Metals Advisory. He is our metals expert and is obviously a big fan of the metals. And of course, I can't blame him. I think that I'm also a big fan, and I think that you have to make sure you check it out. And that's Precious Metals Advisor, Claudio Graus. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz. And of course, don't forget to download the show every day at libertytalk.fm. You can download The Bubba Show as well as A Sporting Edge with the March Madness starting this week. And of course, don't forget to get Bubba's Daily Update, which is available to you free. All you have to do is go to bubbatrading.com, and I will email you the update every day right after the close. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz will be right back with more from Claudio.
Fly me to the moon.
Let me. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got the Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
It's time to rock. Don't let go.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Claudio Grouse from Precious Metals Advisory. So, Claudio, you've been involved in a lot of organizations, and I've known you for quite a while. Tell us what tell us about Precious Metals Advisory.
Well, you know, I basically have three companies that I selected to work with here in Switzerland, and one is in Liechtenstein. And they have all their own USPs, so basically meaning they have all their unique selling propositions. So one company is, for example, for the US clients, which is pretty hard to bring them, you know, to allow American citizens in a legal way to own physical gold in another jurisdiction. But that company basically is addressing them and is offering that kind of service. And then I have another one, which is a retail company. Whereby I basically can, you know, they are also sponsoring my articles in German. I started to write in German to awaken, you know, the interest with the people when it comes to precious metals and, you know, the Austrian School of Economics and how, where we are and the values, you know, which are important for a society, because also my company is also called Sound Money for a Sound Society. So I truly believe that, you know, with fake money, you end up with a fake society, and that's where we are. So we have to, you know, bring back the memory, you know, bring back the memory about the real values to the people in these days. And I think that's, you know, the principles of liberty and freedom, and also, you know, the Austrian School, the principles of the findings of the Austrian School of Economics. So that's what I'm doing in the gold markets. I mean, I have. If I have an institutional client today, or I have a high net worth individual who really looks for a tailor-made setup, I can fulfill, you know, if there is a client out there on this global, on this planet, I basically can assure that I will find a tailor-made solution for him and to fulfill his specific wishes that he's looking for.
So tell us, you know, you made a couple of references to it, Austrian economics versus the Keynesian economics. Give us your views of the two economic systems, or the three, you know, the number of that are out there, and give us what you like and why.
I mean, you know, Keynes and Austrian, I think that the biggest difference is that the Austrian economics, they believe in the individual. I think that's the only philosophy which can also lead to real capitalism. And so the individual is key, and they also don't believe that they can steer the market, you know, that a few people have the wisdom to steer whole economies by, you know, printing money or reducing interest rates and, you know, playing the Googles up there, you know. So, I mean, that's basically the main difference, because Keynes, of course, it's all about government intervention, deficit spending, and, you know, a small elite which is so smart that they can fulfill all the wishes. They even know better, you know, for the rest of the people what they have to do, what they have to think, what they are allowed to, whatever, even to eat and drink and smoke. So I think that's the main difference. And then, of course, you know, Keynes is, it's more on credit, of course. But it's all about centralization, and the Austrian school is all about the individual values, real values, how an economy is working. So it has much more, it's much more rich in terms of historical know-how, philosophy, how to look at an economy, at the real economy.
Well, now give me some of the flaws in Austrian, because no system is perfect. And I agree with you, the Keynesian is ridiculous. It's Keynesian is run by a bunch of theorists who wouldn't know if I dropped them off in the middle of nowhere, they couldn't find their way home. So I get all that, but there is some flaws in the Austrian style too. Give us what you think the flaws are.
The flaws, I mean, you know, it's not, you know, Austrian economics, it's not all about economy. It's really also the boom and bust, how you, I mean, what we learned from the history, what is going to happen if you have centralized institutions which are taking over responsibility, which are limiting the freedom. And, I mean, yeah, so, you know, Keynesian and all this centralized way of thinking, and there you also need an elite which believes that they are smarter than the rest of the people. And because when you have those kind of people, then you always end up with less freedom, and you have, you know, they try to tell you what you have to do. I mean, yeah, you'll become a proletarian. I mean, you know, central planning is for proletarians, and which means, you know, that it's focusing on the individual becoming more and more dependent of the government, so that they, you know, follow the rules and don't question and don't bite the hand which feeds them. And the Austrian economics is so much more. It's all about different opinions. You know, you can always talk. You agree that you don't agree. It's about the Enlightenment. And it's how, yeah, a real economy is really working, that you have to produce something and then to save, and then you can invest again. And so it makes much more sense. And it has, you know, that values such as, you know, the family is important, you know, that you are, that you don't steal, that you don't betray, you know, that you don't use force. That's part of the Austrian economics as well. You don't use force against others, but as long as you are a free individual, you can do whatever you want to do, as long as you don't hurt or force people or other people to do something.
Now, we know that the Keynesian economic theory is designed to grab all the money from the middle class and everybody else and let it all accumulate into the rich. What's your thoughts of that, and is there anything like that in the Austrian system?
No, because you never have that kind of centralization, and you don't have that kind of instruments that you can manipulate masses, and that you can manipulate opinion leaders and all that stuff. So, I mean, even Keynes, I mean, you know, he was not that bad, but, you know, he's now being basically the leader of today's system. Everyone refers to Keynes, but his ideas have been modified over the decades also quite heavily by our central planners.
Well, yeah, I mean, Keynes was, you know, look, he had a theory which, you know, you can agree or not agree with the theory of it. But of course, then you turn it in the hands of politicians and everybody else, even though the Fed is supposed to be a private organization. There's a lot of funky business going on around there, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. No, I mean, you know, we don't live in a perfect world. But the beauty with free markets and with the Austrian economics is, and all the power to the individual is, you know, if I become an entrepreneur and I can produce whatever I want to, I mean, you know, the guy who votes if my company will become successful or not is the individual, is the consumer at the end of the day, because he can vote with his dollar bills. And if I don't produce, you know, the quality they're looking for or for the price they're looking for, then I go under and then somebody else is taking over. So under an Austrian economic, you know, when we look at the economy from that, I mean, today we can say it's we are living in a fascistic system, because fascism is the alliance between big government and big business, and that's where we are. I mean, it's just on an international level, and in the Austrian economics, basically that's impossible, because no company would ever become so big, having, you know, 100,000s of employees, because, you know, for me, I mean, a lot of these big multinational companies, they became so big because they have been, they had a strong lobby in politics. You know, they had some, they made sure that there are some subventions or restrictions, trade restrictions, or that they got, you know, because they are so big, they get the credit cheaper than the small and mid-sized companies, and so on. So, I mean, the actual system is really poisoning from all different kinds of angles. And if we would have a real free market with free individuals and with sound money, meaning also that the market participants are free to decide for themselves what they want to use as money, I mean, we would have completely different world.
Well, I mean, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead.
And I think that brings me to the next maybe topic. You know, it's the cryptocurrencies and the blockchain.
I mean, that is truly, we don't have a free market system in the United States right now. It's a manipulated system which has been controlled by the Federal Reserve. And again, that's I'm against that. I'm against when they bail them out. I don't think that the bank should be the royalty. I think the banks are any business like anybody else's business, and we need to do that. So I think that is what freed up, and I'm calling what's going on right now a financial revolution. Okay, that's my opinion, is that you're having a financial revolution, and that's what's creating a lot of this success. But when we come back from the break, we'll talk more with Claudio about the financial revolution. And this is Claudio Grouse from Precision Metal Advisory. And, of course, this is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Make sure you remember to check out our highschoolinvesting.com website. We right now service about 340 high schools throughout the country and are looking to get 30,000, but I have supported it myself for the last 7 years and now looking for some help. If you want to help out, go to patreon.com/BubbaTrading. Again, that's patreon.com/BubbaTrading. And of course, don't forget to download The Bubba Show every single day at libertytalk.fm. You can download that and The Sporting Edge with the March Madness kicking off today. You want to make sure that you get all the information you need, so make sure you check out The Sporting Edge over the weekend. And this is The Bubba Show, and I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be back with more from our friend Claudio Grouse from Precision Metals Advisory after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, we're coming right back. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Claudio Grouse from Precious Metals Advisory, and he's my expert. He's my friend, and it's always great to have him on. So, Claudio, you know, I know you're not a big fan of the Bitcoin in general, but I think you have to be a big fan of the theory behind the Bitcoin or the cryptocurrency space. Give me your thoughts, give me your views, and let's talk about it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you know, the cryptocurrencies and the blockchain technology, it's all about decentralization. And I mean, we have seen even the internet, you know, the impact the internet had on our society and also the way we do business. I mean, I remember that Krugman said, I think in 1999 or 1998 something, that in the future we will see, by 2005, we will see that the invention of the internet had less impact than the invention of fax machine. I mean, so it just shows, I mean, the internet is fantastic because it has helped to break down, you know, for example, the media monopoly, you know, the public broadcasting. I call it government propaganda and so on. So people with the internet, it's a kind of Gutenberg press. Every coin has always two sides. I mean, some people thought, yeah, we might be more controlled and, you know, surveillance and all that stuff. I mean, it's absolutely right. But on the other side, it allowed you know, that we can interact, that we can speak, that we can find new markets, deal, you know, and form our own opinion by checking and digging for the truth on the internet and to decide for ourselves what we might use as a good source of information or not. So the internet is great. And now basically we are coming to the internet money. And that's the way I look at crypto and blockchain. It's basically the, you know, we need in that age, we need a trustworthy and secure way how to transform information and, you know, close smart contracts amongst individuals. So it's fully decentralized. It's really from peer to peer. And it's a direct attack basically on the centralized government. It's a direct attack against on the central banks, and also on the banking system as we know it. I think in a few years' time, this will be obsolete, because I truly believe that the internet with blockchain and crypto is here to stay. And it will have a tremendous positive impact on mankind, because it's really going in the right direction, in the direction of decentralization. And that means more freedom and more individual liberty.
So you do believe it's here to stay? Because last time we talked, I wasn't so sure. So, I mean, I am a believer in the crypto space. Again, you know, obviously right now there's a lot of shenanigans going on, as there was in the internet. You know, if you remember, anything.com, Claudio.com was worth a billion, right? So, but now you're starting to see a lot of places, you know, even some small countries are using and putting the crypto as their currency. And it is traded in a free market. I mean, anything that you can trade 24 hours a day, 7 days a week is a free market. And that is decentralizing, taking away the power of the central banks and those people. And I think that is something that's really tremendous for everybody when it comes down to it, because it takes government and it takes everybody out of the equation. And you, as you said, you can have a currency that, if I'm willing to take it as currency, then it's a currency, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, value is subjective. It's nothing, you know, that is made into the stone. I mean, it's really up to the people. Each individual gives a subjective value to whatever he looks at. So it's a possibility. I mean, we know from the past, you know, that something can only become money when it has been used in the past before to trade, because it has been precious in the eyes of market participants, that they considered it precious and therefore highly liquid, and so they started trading, and that's how and exchanging goods, and that's how gold and silver came into existence as money. So I mean, at the moment, I mean, don't get me wrong, I mean, I'm not invested in the crypto market. I truly believe right now. I mean, it's you know, I don't have money to lose. I mean, I don't have money to speculate. I have a family to feed. You know, I just became independent, so basically I have to make sure that I keep my financial house in order, and so therefore I don't speculate. But I at the moment, I mean, in the crypto business and so on, I mean, it's like a wild, wild west. It's a gold digger time. And I still don't know if a cryptocurrency can become a store of value. I still have my doubts. But you know, I look into the digitalization of hard assets, so that they can be used in the future to pay, you know, to trade, to exchange. I think that's something I'm really curious to see, and I'm also looking at the few companies which are offering that kind of service. So I just know that I love the concept. I understand what it is. I don't see right now. I think, you know, even when we look back at when the internet started, I mean, you know, maybe the key players in the future or in 5 years' time are not born yet. And maybe, you know, a few of the guys who are today the leaders will be gone in a few years' time. But overall, I truly believe that for the people, it really makes sense, you know, to monitor and just to have a look and to think about what's going on in the crypto business. Keep an open mind and just get used to the fact that this definitely is going to replace, you know, the US dollar, the Swiss franc, the euro, whatever, and the financial system as we know it today, in the future.
And you're a non-speculator and you're talking, so we make a mid-ground, because all I do is speculate. So there we have. I also invest, though. I mean, I am invested as well, and I do own gold and I own silver, and I'm a big fan. And I think that, but I do believe that, you know, I miss this whole crypto world, because I was against it and I thought it was a little phony. And of course, it turned out not to be, and now it's now been registered as a commodity, So that gives it a little bit more credibility. So I do think that it's real. So you're a very conservative young man, which is great, and you should be. I think you're always better off being a little conservative, as I can speak from my own issues. But at the end of the day, you got somebody who's got money, and you say, okay, I've got a lot of money to invest. How am I going to break it up into the different metals markets? How would you break it up percentage-wise into different markets?
Oh, my goodness, Todd, that's a good question.
Well, you know, okay, I mean, I can only say the way I invest. I mean, first of all, I will definitely, you know, I personally, I'm invested 50-50 in gold and physical silver.
Okay.
For both, I have a minimum time horizon. I mean, I started buying physical gold in 2004, so... you know, doing fine there. I think at 400% up to today. I mean, if the people would understand, yeah. I mean, back in the '70s, yeah. For you know, you an ounce of gold was $50, and today it's still 1300. I mean, just imagine if somebody in the '70s would have put away, you know, some physical gold. I mean, I know some people they did that. Of course, they're really happy. So it just shows on the long term. You put it on the side, you know, it's not a liability to the banking system or whatever. I mean, it's really yours. And if you keep it in safe jurisdiction under direct and unencumbered ownership, you know, fully insured and so on, I think then you're really safe. But to come back to your, I mean, what I can say is, you need, okay, gold and silver.
Yeah, you just too quick. You got 30 seconds to get to spit this out now.
Okay. So gold and silver, basically, you know, maximum, you know, stuff you don't need in the next 5 years. When it comes to stocks, I mean, there are some companies around, and if you're interested in one, I know one which I fully trust. You know, they really they build up a collection of assets with fantastic companies which are decoupled also from the financial markets, because they're not leveraged and they're not, you know, the majority of the shares are owned in strong hands. So that will also, you know, so that there will be much less volatility, even, you know, the stock market is going to crash in the future. And at the same time, you have underlying companies which are producing on a daily basis real values.
All right, Claudio, I got to cut it here, but I want to have you back again, and I want to talk again, and I thank you so much. Claudio Gross, Precious Metals Advisory. Thank you so much, man. I appreciate it.
Hey, thank you very much, Todd, as well.
This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you back here tomorrow, same time, same station. The Bubba Show. When it's cold
outside. Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.